And Mr. Schmidt.
Yes, sir.
You didn't hang around late enough last night, and I kept on putting your speaker card to the bottom of the list,
I put my speaker card to the bottom of the list on a regular basis, so I left. Thank you for remembering me.
So you figured, why wait, right?
Yes.
Since you were...
To North Monterey County is such a long drive home, I had to leave early.
I understand. So a public comment, if you want to give us those comments, you can do that.
I think it went very well last night.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your patience and endurance.
Okay, good.
Although you should have had the pizza guy come and sell slices outside.
I know. Okay, we have all of the board members in the room. Okay, Mr. Deitch, please come up. And you requested 5 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What's this? Why do we, someone passed it up?
I think Mr. Deitch perhaps.
Okay, and so Mr. Deitch, just to let you know, there's lights on this little box. And
absolutely.
So when it gets to yellow, I think you've got a minute, or is it 2 minutes? That's the 2 minute yellow warning, just so you'll know.
Yes, thank you. I'm familiar with those.
Okay,
as
wonderful.
As you'll see from my DVD.
Good.
Thank you very much for allowing me this 5 minutes. Douglas Deitch, Executive Director. Are we starting now?
Yes.
Douglas Deitch, Executive Director of the Monterey Bay Conservancy. First, I'd like to take the opportunity to congratulate Mr. Johnston on being the new appointee for the Pajaro Valley area. I believe that's where he lives. I'd like to also point out to the board that, at least in my recollection, the last three board members from our area for the last 20 years have been, respectively, Dr. Daniel Press, Dr. Bruce Daniels. I don't know if he's doctor yet, but he's going to be. I know I gave him his doctoral thesis there on saltwater intrusion and ocean rise. And Dr. Thomas LeHue. Two of those parties are now presently board members of Soquel Creek Water District, which you saw a map there of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. Just for your information, they share groundwater, the Aromas Red Sands, with Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. Just for your information, too, this is the same groundwater basin that Mark Reisner, author of Cadillac Desert, who passed away in 1998, characterized as having the worst saltwater intrusion anywhere in the world, losing every year 15,000 acre feet to saltwater intrusion. I have been appearing before the Coastal Commission since 2007, requesting that the Coastal Commission observe and help us in Santa Cruz observe our local coastal plan, which had a requirement established in 1987 by Gary Patton when he wrote the well ordinance. He was a supervisor there, which created a ministerial duty as part of our coastal plan to require our Board of Supervisors to declare a groundwater emergency in any groundwater basin which was an overdraft in which there might be some saltwater intrusion. In 1998, it was established that through our water resources management report there that this Pajaro Basin was experiencing at that point 15,000 acre feet a year loss. Now, in the year 2007, I did an hour TV show which I delivered to the Coastal Commission and requesting that they do not allow the amendment of the coastal plan that was requested from the year 2004, and it was finally accomplished in the year 2009, which changed the duty from a ministerial duty to a discretionary option by the Board of Supervisors, declaration of groundwater emergency. Now, you'll see before you something I've handed out, which is a article where I'm running for supervisor in Santa Cruz in the same district. Now, I started doing this in 1994. I've been doing it continually since because the people who are in this position do not follow the law in their oath of office in the County of Santa Cruz. Now, I've come to call this a Waterbury Ponzi scheme. And the reason that I do is because of this document here, which I'm going to get to in a second. What this is the Basin Sustainable Yield Analysis for the Pajaro Water Management Agency that was performed in the year 2000. These other documents that they've been showing you, for example, the saltwater intrusion map, if you look on that closely, you'll see that that is from the year 2000 as well. These are all outdated. I think if you can recall back 10 minutes ago, you'll see a figure of 12,000 acre feet. That's the overdraft. Well, 12,000 acre feet is the overdraft if you assume that the Pajaro Valley Basin has a sustainable yield of 24,000 acre feet now. Now, as you'll see from my, I doubt that, but what they're figuring is that when we stop pumping up by the coast, the yield will go from 24,000 to 50,000. So I call that pulling a 26,000 acre foot water rabbit out of a hat. Now, that's why I call it the Ponzi scheme. So if, can you please go to the, so this is the sustainable yield analysis. If you pull this down, this is the last page. And please, Mary is here to confirm this. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the first page, she gave me this document, and she was not the head of the agency. So what this says here is that the presently, with the groundwater basin that's 88% below sea level or most of the year, that there's a sustainable yield of 24,000 acre feet now. So that's, they're using it here. You'll see it in your staff report. And when we stop pumping at the coast, this will go to, that's 85% production, that's agricultural pumping there, 49,000 acre feet. So I wish somebody could please explain to me or anybody, I've been asking this agency here since 2006 to please look into this closely. It could be what's called due diligence. That's what's not happening around here. So I would appreciate if you could play the, you know, what my last appearance before the Coastal Commission, where I took this up specifically with them.
1C3 water policy.
And this is at the...
Douglas Teach.
Once again, Douglas Teach, Executive Director of Monterey Bay Conservancy, 501C3 water policy think tank from Santa Cruz. It's very fortunate we have Ms. Bochco here because she saw her little story before her behalf on this Coastal Commission. Yesterday we had a bridge too far. Tonight we have Charlottetown and Scarface in terms of our waterways. In Scarface, it was both of us trying to get out of this grave but don't get high on our supply. That's what we're doing with our water. In terms of Charlottetown, it goes on the rails. It's not that I want to take it from the States Valley. What it is that we have all subscribed to agricultural use of water and checked out the dairy plants. We have what I call a water dairy plants scheme here. Every year, 2,000 acre feet, I told them in a public comment to saltwater treatment in the St. Lawrence Valley, which had a $4 billion agricultural production. Red Sands Aquifer, which is also a Monterey County, North Monterey County, where it's about what I'm talking about. But this is a Pajaro Valley Basin emergency. The federal goals of Santa Cruz are only 0.3 in the neighbors. It sounds like a water policy scheme. So, I have one question of the land engineer here, Ms. Jonathan. What you saw here is the basic sustainable yield analysis that he performed in 2000. What Ms. Jonathan says here is that the little last page here.
Which is fixed to another page.
So, the last page here. So, what Ms. Jonathan has contended is that a groundwater basin here that is below sea level most of the time, we have a 24,000 acre foot sustainable yield. A groundwater basin below sea level has no sustainable yield. First, 15,000 acre foot morass here in Sierra Leone intrusion is several DSAP plants, Highland, Arizona, and Santa Cruz, in the SoCal Creek Water District. But the SoCal Creek Water District is known by Laurel Brown for 15 years. She is the wife of Laurel Farnborough. So my question to Mr. Martin is, if he can't substantiate how, and explain to you how the groundwater basin is here, which is says that they're based on 24,000 acre feet, to 50,000 acre feet, and put 26,000 acre foot rabbit, rare rabbit, pearl out of a hat, and basically smoke in ears, what I'm going to talk about all this conclusion, do you know what it is now? What it is now, what it is now, what it is now.
So let me, I'm running out of time, let me conclude by saying, so they've represented to you today that there's a 12,000 acre foot need. No, there's not. The need there is 12,000 acre feet plus the 26,000 acre feet that they say the yield's going to go up from 24,000 to 50. If you look right here, it's on page 2 of your staff report. Okay? So we know it's at, if you believe that a groundwater basin is going to double from 24,000 to 50,000 by stopping pumping at the coast, that's like the equivalent of $400 million desal plant production. Good luck. But I've been asking this question for the last 10 years, and there's no answer. So I think, is my time up?
Your time is up.
I appreciate the opportunity. Please take the most aggressive position you can to make these people follow the law, really, we have to get rid of this agency. They're completely failed.
So have you asked them? You said you've asked them numerous times.
Well, I'm not allowed to come down and make presentations there to talk before that agency. This process that they had, I asked to come down and the only way we can do this is to live with enemies. I want to say one other thing, too. Now, you mentioned Dr. Fisher, and I mentioned Bruce Daniels. I'm going to be providing to this board the testimony at a SoCal Creek Water District meeting from Andy Fisher and Bruce Daniels, and the conversation goes like this. They're talking about recharging the Aromas Red Sands, and Bruce Daniels says, well, that's, and I'm going to give you the testimony, that's like putting it down a bottomless hole. And Dr. Fisher, and I'm quoting him directly, said, it's a duster. A duster. That means it's gone. And what we have to face up to now is that the groundwater basin in the Pajaro Valley and the Salinas Valley have been permanently pumped down below sea level, and they will never improve. We're mining water now. What we're doing is we have allowed our groundwater basin here to be expropriated by multinational corporate agribusiness. They're using 85% of the water at 200% overdraft. Recharge doesn't work when you're overpumping by 200% in the Pajaro Basin. Let me just end by saying this. I gave Dr. Fisher my time at the Board of Supervisors to try to convince him to declare a groundwater emergency. And he told them, they asked, well, when there might be some improvement. And he said, and I'm quoting him, it's hearsay, but I'm quoting him, if we don't pump anything, we might see some improvement in 100 years. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Please do your job. Saltwater intrusion is a water quality problem. Thank you. Excuse me.
Jessica, perhaps you'd like to explain what authority the Water Board has, or Francis. I didn't see Francis. You're sitting closer to me, Jessica, and I didn't see Francis down there. Either of you.
I can read it. I can read it.
Well, hang on, Mr. Deitch.
Thank you.
Take a deep breath.
I get excited about it.
Just hang on. We have limited powers in this area. There isn't a discharge of waste going on. So I just want you to know that ahead of time. But perhaps, Francis, you could more fully explain to Mr. Deitch what our role is.
So just in summary, the Regional Water Quality Control Board is responsible regulating the discharges of waste to waters of the state, or both surface and groundwater. The pumping of groundwater is not a discharge of waste under the way our water code defines it. So this board has limited jurisdiction to address the pumping issue that you've raised.
Thank you. I understand that.
Okay.
Reading in here, it says the Central Coast Water Board has limited authority to deal directly with overdraft and seawater intrusion problems. However, through coordination with the State Water Resources Control Board, the Collective Water Boards organization has the authority and all the responsibility to intervene. And also, which is some authority, but also what I'd really like you to do is to advise the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors and to advise the Coastal Commission that we have a coastal plan that calls for declaration of a groundwater emergency when groundwater basins are in overdraft as a ministerial duty in the County of Santa Cruz, and that's what supervisors are supposed to do in the County of Monterey. So, but Santa Cruz has a specific ordinance that deals with that. You can find it at pogonip.org/ORDHTM, signed by Gary Patton in 1987. Okay. Thank you very much for your patience with me and giving me some extra time. Any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any board questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And just, Mary, I'd give you guys an opportunity if you wanted to respond at all to what Mr. Deitch had said. And I don't know if there's misunderstanding or there's a genuine issue here of these numbers. And is it 12,000 or is it really?
Well,
is the need going to be more than 12,000 acre feet?
The 12,000 acre feet is an estimated amount. It depends, and maybe it wasn't real clear from the presentation, but depending on where the water is applied or where the pumping is stopped, changes how it affects the difference. So the reality is that it's not a specific number; it's close. And as we look at projects and see how they contribute to balancing the basin, then we can derive a number from that. So specifically for mixing projects together, we can get to a closer number. But 12,000 is not an exact number. Mm-hmm. Depends where you put the water.
But unless I misunderstood him, I thought he was saying there's going to be this increased yield from the basin. Is that right?
And so I'm not sure where Mr. Deitch is coming from. The reality is that we had a process where we allowed him allowed everybody to present what their conclusions were or their projects or their solutions, and we looked at them all of them closely. The Basin Management Plan Committee considered his approach, which was to take 8,000 acres out of production along the coast. But I can't really address everything that's going on that he's thinking, so I'm not sure exactly what you want me to do here. So.
Okay, Mr. Briggs, did you have an answer kind of to my question or to clarify my question? I thought Mr. Deitch had that his issue was there was going to be an increased yield from this basin, and therefore, where's that extra shut-off water going to come from?
You're asking me to speak for him. What I understood was he was talking about increased demand.
Correct. Okay.
Not yield, increased demand. But that would lead to the need for additional safe yield, as opposed to just relying on meeting the 12,000 figure.
Right,
frankly, that's part of what I was asking about in terms of trying to actually reverse seawater intrusion instead of being satisfied with just holding it in abeyance.
Okay. So then my question would be to either of you, the need for about 12,000 acre feet, does that go on indefinitely?
That's modeled out 30 years.
For 30 years?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that looks like their answer. I'm just saying that's what the answer is, that they need about 12,000 acre feet per year for about 30 years based on their modeling.
You can just tell you what this says. Keep your names right on.
That's 12 years old, and we have a new model now.
Okay, so that's 12 years old?
That's the figures they use in their staff report.
I didn't write the staff report.
The staff report
was written out of the data from the old BMP.
Okay, all right.
But what I'd like to offer certainly is to come back when we complete this work, which is, you know, in a 12-month, two-year time frame, and report back with the projects we've identified and the effect that we anticipate that will have. And they will be modeled. So
okay.
We would be happy to.
Was that your question, Mr. Johnston?
I had been hoping that we would have an offer to come back when they had
good.
Completed their process of redoing their basin plan.
Okay, Dr. Hunter.
Yeah, just so that I'm clear, maybe staff can comment on this. So our actual and direct role in this is permitting the recycle facility, and if they do go to injection, we'll have some look at that. Is there a permit associated with that? Where are the permits going to come up in terms of the projects that they're doing?
We do have some permitting authority involved here. Mr. Cavanaugh mentioned we'll need help with College Lake, for example, so we'd be involved with things like that. We did issue a permit for the tertiary recycling plant for the city and the agency. It does go beyond that a little bit. We're watching the process closely, participating as we can, encouraging and trying to make sure that they look at all options, including the conservation option, very, very closely, and coming up with solutions that will match that overdraft and stop the intrusion.
So in our own basin plan, when and how or does seawater intrusion enter into any of the discussion as far as how we encourage this type of a process for other small-scale communities that have seawater intrusion as a feature of their drinking water supply, mm-hmm. or in this case, ag use?
I don't know if it's addressed directly in the basin plan. So we're left to our limited authority and the encouragement and being involved in processes. Beyond that, it gets into legal solutions, which no one really wants to do, but that's the last resort, adjudication.
Adjudication, right, right. So, and I know the basin plan process, updating it, is always one of those long-term challenges to stay current. But knowing what we know now about coastal communities facing seawater intrusion, is there any thinking about ways in which we can incorporate and address this issue from whatever direction in within the structure of the basin plan?
I can just make a comment about that. Two regional boards, region, the Central Valley and the Lahontan region, have water conservation programs within their basin plan that address to some degree water conservation that ties into protecting the source. I mean, you don't have direct authority, but you have through permitting, and there's a section of the water code that says that in issuing waste discharge requirements, you can take into account the availability of water, which can, indirectly at least deal with things like saltwater intrusion, where it becomes unavailable because of that pollution. So there are, and then of course, as Harvey said, work with the State Water Board in dealing with their water rights authority to address this issue.
Yeah, so I like that idea of maybe considering how those two other regions have, see what the language looks like, and as we work on the basin plan, keep that as part of a set of ideas to bring into the basin plan, and keep that line of concern and that problem open and identified in the basin plan to the extent that we can. And of course, we're all hoping that the State Water Board's leadership in rethinking groundwater management policies, and especially for the coastal zone, that will bring along some changes, much needed change in terms of having a direct role.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think that you mentioned the State Board, State Water Resources Control Board, and I think that is one thing that is different now and is reflected in the letter that's in your packet, the July letter, I think it was, to the agency. And that is that the State Board has, and those of you who went to the Water Quality Coordinating Committee most recently heard Tom Howard, Executive Director, talking about this, and speaking on behalf of the State Board members. They have expressed an interest in teaming up with the regions and looking at these problems that have been intractable traditionally and trying to see if there's a better model for dealing with them, in some cases having a kind of a team concept with the regions instead of it's just State Board authority and then the regional boards have their authority and it's limited and never the twain shall meet. So they're talking about having more of a joint regional board, State Board action on a lot of different issues, whether it's general permits statewide, basin plan amendments in one region that could be applied statewide and that sort of thing, if that's beneficial to be more effective with the effort that goes into it. And so something like seawater intrusion and dealing with that problem is another candidate for that, which is really what we're trying to reflect in this letter to the agency. So as Harvey Packard was saying, we're looking at it kind of through that new lens of having the State Board backing, and that's one of the reasons we wanted the agency to come here today and address the board and see where they are in terms of dealing with the problem.
Well, I did attend the Water Quality Coordinating Committee, so I was very encouraged to hear the discussion and the number of ways in which the State Board is pursuing new policy, kind of informing themselves on what the options are. I would hope that we communicate, and I think we have, that the coastal communities, especially the small-scale coastal communities that are facing seawater intrusion, simply don't have the resources to avail themselves of the technology. And Mary, you are very right that Orange County has an amazing operation, but they also have the ratepayer base. So they've solved a problem and turned it into an asset. And so we see the technology is there. We see that the system is reliable. But, is it accessible by small-scale operations? Not at this point. So, I hope that we convey to the State Board that in addition to the problem of just you know, basic overdrafting of aquifers. The added problem and threat of losing the entire groundwater basin to contamination by seawater is, I think, a multiple issue that we need to look at. And there's, you know, the time factor here is just urgent. So hopefully they have added that to the list of, you know, the rate at which they're going to start hopefully taking some action to make changes in the way we address these issues. But thank you for reminding me of what we, you know, what we heard and learned there.
Sure. Okay. Any other board comments?
Yes, Dr.
Chair. Wolf.
And this is more a question to Ms. Bannister. You talked about working toward developing a more accuracy in the modeling, and I think in the big picture, the accuracy of the water intrusion and the benefits of water recycling in relationship to the overall water basin is very critical in making the decisions. And there's been a lot of recent success stories using radioisotope technologies to identify water aging. You mentioned water tracing. And by using, perhaps through grant programs or other means, these technologies, I think it would help you get a good handle, because we're talking about a 30-year plan here. But if we don't have accurate data, and if the data is still, you know, scientifically associated with question marks, it's pretty difficult to make long-range decisions. And to the point of or executive officer, ultimately the goal of actually reversing the process. So I know you briefly, as a passing comment, mentioned tracers, but I think that's an important part of your toolbox, you know, to find long-term solutions.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this item? Okay. This was a status report. So thank you very much for this information. Look forward to hearing from you again.